take your Bibles now. Remain standing with me, if you will. Go to the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter number 1, right after the book of Judges, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Ruth chapter number 1. I'm going to read a few passages of Scripture. I usually don't read this many, but we're going to read verses 1 through 6 together responsively, and then we'll read verses 20 and 22 the same way as well in the same chapter. Ruth chapter number 1, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. You'll join me in verse number 2. We'll read through verse number 6. Ruth chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." We're going to stay in the same chapter. Go down to verse number 20. I'll read verses number 20. You'll join me on verse number 21. And we'll read verse 22 together. Bible says in verse number 20, "And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" Let's read verse 22 together. "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest." Now, you don't need to read this with me. I'm going to read one more verse out of chapter number 4. We'll see this verse again later this morning. Ruth chapter 4, verse number 15. I'll read it for you. "And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him." The title of this morning's message is this: Peace in the Place of God. Peace in the place of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, now we need you. Everything up to this point has been preliminary. Lord, it's been sort of, if you will, a man's tradition. But Lord, the preaching of God's word is far from tradition. It is far from religion. It's far more than just an inspirational talk or a spiritual, emotional speech. It's time that we yield to you and that you minister to our hearts as the word of God is preached. I'll yield myself as best as I know how. I'd ask that you'd work through me, Lord, that you'd encourage, that you'd comfort, that you'd strengthen, that you would allow us to become closer to you because of what's done here this evening, this morning. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen, and you may be seated. Most fellas who grow up in church, you ask them about their Bible character favorites, right? You know, you got David and Samson, and you know, you got all these rough, tough guys. And I don't know what I would tell you my favorite Bible character would be. It probably would have to be depending on the day. But I don't know of a story as a whole that I like more than the story of Ruth. There's very few Bible stories that are just so encompassing in the Christian life. There is so much in this. We could probably spend one service 3 times a week for a month straight in the book of Ruth. And we might get through it. We probably could. But I love the book of Ruth. I love the story. I want you to think about the title, because that title is going to be pulled from the truth of the book of Ruth. Peace in the place of God. You look at our world today, and there's very little visible peace.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of turmoil.
Yes.
There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of confusion. We can't escape that because we're here. But I can still be at peace as a child of God.
Amen.
While living here.
Amen.
I do not have to succumb to the fear, to the confusion, to the scatterbrained thinking of man.
Praise God.
I am capable of being in the place of God while facing difficulties and experiencing the peace of God.
Amen.
We find in chapter number 1, the beginning of the story, we find that a man by the name of Elimelech, the husband of this family, seeks temporary relief from the difficulties that are found in the place of God. You will never find a place with no problems. There's problems here, there's problems in the next county over, there's problems in the next church, there's problems in the next state, there's problems in the next country. There's always going to be problems in life.
Yes.
Elimelech faces a problem, and I understand Elimelech as a man, as one who seeks to provide for his family, not wanting to see his family go without. It is an instinct for a man by his own blood, sweat, and tears to provide for his family.
Be, yes.
At least that's how it should be.
He
seeks to provide for his family. He knows that he needs his family to have something, and he thought he could provide better for his family. He thought he could find a better way than the way that God told him. He thought he could provide for his family by leaving where God told him to be. You cannot do any better for your family than keeping your family in the will of God. Elimelech seeks temporary relief from these difficulties. This is supposed to be the place where God's blessing was, the house of bread, Bethlehem. This is supposed to be the place where it was full of bountiful blessings in the life of the children of God. But we find that fearful fleeing during the times of famine will always forfeit the family's fruitfulness. We read in verse number 1 how they left. By the time we get to verse number 6, God's blessed. We don't know how long the period was that they were in Moab, but they missed the blessing of God. The difficulties and trials of life are not enjoyable, but they're rewarding when I stay and watch God work.
Yes, sir.
You see, the difference between me and the world is when I face a problem, I've got somebody to lean on. I've got somebody that I can trust in. Why am I going to leave this covert of safety found in God's will to seek my own way of provision for my family? I will every single time find myself returning empty and full of sorrow. Elimelech and his family got comfortable in the world. We find that in verse number 2. You see, there is always comfortability in a carnal lifestyle. Always. Whenever you seek a carnal lifestyle, you will be comfortable. You want to know why? Because it doesn't require faith. We like what we can see. That's why we turn from our God and make something else more important than Him in our lives. Because something we can see. Something we can touch. We like the dollar bill. We like the credit card because we can touch it. It's a security blanket. It's something that we have. There's always comfortability found in a carnal lifestyle. But there's also a lack of God's protection. Because the only way to remain under the protection of God is to obey by faith.
Amen.
Elimelech sought to provide for his family, but instead he gets them comfortable in the world. And then we find that because of these actions, great sorrow is brought to this family. We find that Elimelech first dies. Mahlon and Chilion grow up. They get married. Both of them die. Now we've got three widows from the same family who have all lost men in their life. Nobody has ever left the place of God and returned full. What did Ruth say in verse number 20? Call me no more Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me. What did she say? She said, I went out full The Lord hath brought me home empty. The Lord brought me back empty every time we leave. Samson sought personal glory in his own strength, and his eyes were gouged out, and he was left empty and powerless. Naomi and Elimelech sought provisions for their family. They left the house, and they also left God's provisions. The prodigal son sought personal pleasure, and he came back to the end of his life and found himself in a pig's pen. And it was not till he returned home was his joy restored. Judas sought personal gain by betraying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for a few pieces of silver. He sought the Nike emblem for that day of a religious status symbol, to be known as somebody who was important, not somebody who was connected to the Savior of the world. And he finds himself hung, swinging from a tree, empty, in a life of great potential wasted. Nobody ever leaves the place of God and comes back full.
Right.
Chapter number 2, we do not have time to read the entire story. I would love to. I don't have time. But we find a returning to the place of God. We find in verse number 2 of chapter number 2 that Ruth chooses to sacrifice and to take care of her mother-in-law. She said, "You are older. I will do what it takes to provide for our family." Ruth stays with Naomi. She does not leave as Orpah did. Naomi says, "Y'all go back home. I'm too old to give you any more children. If I had kids today, are you going to really wait around till they're old enough to marry?" She said, "Just go back to your homes." Ruth says, "No, I'm going to stay with you." We find that Ruth is recompensed for her work. In verses 11 through verse number 12, God always rewards work. Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath been fully shown unto me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. How thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity. Thou art come unto a people which thou knewest not here." This was completely foreign to you. This was weird. Sometimes our lifestyle is weird to the world. She said, "There's something better there. The Lord recompense thy work, and hath a full reward been given to thee of the Lord thy God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." It's amazing. The more we gain to trust God, the closer to God we get, the more protection we get.
Amen.
We find Ruth being recompensed for her work. We find then in verses 19 through 20 that it was revealed to Ruth the workings of God. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today?" We find out by verse number 20, Naomi said unto her, "Daughter-in-law, blessed be he the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man near kin unto us is one of our kinsmen." We find in verse number 3, it says where it uses a phrase where she happed to reap in this field. There's no accidents with God. She just so happened to be in the place where God wanted her to be because she obeyed. She was willing to work. She left by faith, and she just so happened to be in the one place. Isn't it amazing? The harder I work, the luckier I get. Well, it's not luck. The harder I work, the more God blesses. Amen.
That's right.
Ruth leaves. And her eyes are opened up. Here she is from a worldly pagan culture, a God that she never heard of, but now her eyes are open to see how God can provide for their needs if she'll trust this God of the Hebrews. Ruth returns to the place of God's blessing. She doesn't leave. We find the time of harvest ending, but she goes back home. So many of us, we go through a difficulty. God blesses. We get that security. We get to the point where we can get on our own, and we say, "We don't need God anymore. We're going to go off on our own now that he has taken care of us." We've left that dependency on God. It requires more faith to live for God in the times of good than it does in the times of bad. Everybody needs God when it's bad. Do you need him when it's good? Hey, instead of flipping for that credit card, "Hey, I can take care of this." How about you pray and say, "Lord, I may not need this. I want it. I just want to see if he can still do it. Would you provide this for me today?" Times are good. Do you still need God? Times were good for Ruth, but she went back home. She went back home to Naomi. And we find that it was not until they acted by faith that the family's fortune was restored. Because in chapters 3 and 4, we find Ruth becoming a part of the family. Ruth becomes a part of a heritage much greater than she ever would have been on her own. Chapter 3, we find Ruth yielding to the wisdom of her mother-in-law. In verse number 5, she says, or verses 1 through 4, she says, Ruth, this is how you're going to go about dating in a Christian life, basically. This is what she says. This is how we're going to date. And I love what Ruth says unto her. All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. How many of us go about trying to get God's will in our life our own way? She didn't say, I got a better way of doing this. I know a more profitable way. She said, all that thou sayest, I will do. When you come to a time in your life where you're confused and you don't know what to do, stop. Trust the wisdom and the principles of God's word. You'll never go wrong. All that he has said, I will do. We as children of God cannot gain the blessings of God by trusting our carnal logic. We find a beautiful picture. Look at chapter number 4. I love this. Why in the world does the church Christian seek the world? Look what the world's view of you is. Look at Ruth chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Ruth Boaz is seeking to have Ruth as a wife and to bring her family under his umbrella and to make them profitable. But there's another kinsman who has first dibs on her. You know that this world's got first dibs on you? Because you were born of this flesh in sin long before you were born a child of God. I was born in sin and my sin nature naturally rules my life. Look at verse number 6. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself lest I mar mine own inheritance. I don't want that. That doesn't make me look good. She's just a nobody. If I bring her into my inheritance, it's going to ruin my status symbol. Why do we want to leave the world, live the world's life, and leave the will of God? For God so loved that he gave. What is the world sacrifice to give you?
Right.
They will only take and take and take until there's nothing left.
Right.
They don't want you unless you're profitable to them. Let's walk the streets and find out how profitable the world's lifestyle has been. Let's go down to the bars and talk to those who are leaving brokenhearted and empty, searching for something, but it wasn't found in a bottle. If liquor satisfied, why do they sell it by the case? God satisfies. I only need him. It just took one.
Amen.
That's all I need.
Yes, sir.
If the world's sin satisfies, how come I keep going back for more? I have water that you know not of. I have the living water. You drink of this water and you'll never thirst again.
Amen.
Teenager, don't go searching for fame and popularity in the world. They don't want you. They don't care about you.
Right.
But Christian, don't do the same thing in your own personal life. Don't get wrapped up into the things of this world because you think that, well, it would just be easier if I was accepted. You got all the acceptance you need right here in God's family.
Amen.
Look at the world's view of a Christian. Oh, but look at verse number 9. Look at how God views us. And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, sacrificed, he gave, and all that was Chilion's and Mahon's at the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. He purchased the church with his own blood because he loved you.
Amen.
He paid for your life. You have been bought with a price. I have purchased to be my wife to raise thee up in the name of the dead upon his inheritance, and the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. And from the gate of this place, ye are witnesses this day. One day, I witnessed on an old hill called Calvary, where the Son of God lifted himself on and took upon all my sins, all my shame. And he was naked and shameful before all mankind because he loved me. Why would I want to leave what God has done for me and trade that for what the world has to offer? That's the story. Let's apply it. We find people perishing because they leave the place of God and search for something better. They heard about there wasn't a famine in Moab, so they thought. Be careful thinking that you can find peace and prosperity by leaving the place that God has put you.
Right.
Too many Christians become impatient in the times of waiting on God. Many perish in the Christian life because they want to get rid of a so-called problem when it's really a process that God wants them to grow through.
Amen.
Financial hardship comes to everybody. But God's solution is not welfare. God's solution is not another stimulus check. God's welfare is work.
Amen.
Save.
Right.
Put pennies under your pillow at night. Count them. Make sure you're not foolish in spending. And then watch God bless.
Amen.
Yeah, that's true.
We think that we're sheltering our children by making life easier for them. But life is not easy. Life is a process. And I'll never get strong if I don't work out. And I will never get strong as a Christian if I don't put my faith on the rubber where the road meets and I just keep on pressing forward. I'll never be strong in the Christian life if every time a problem comes, I just run to find the next solution that man says is an easy solve-all.
That's right. Amen.
Don't become impatient in the process of growing as a Christian. God it may seem to you that God has lifted his hand from your life, but he's still on the throne.
Amen.
So I could be saved.
Amen.
He is still on the throne. He's still in control and he can still provide for your new needs. He just requires a little bit of faith. People see the prosperity of the wicked. You remember Psalms chapter 73? David said, my feet were now well nigh slipped. But he said later in the chapter, until I went to the sanctuary, then understood I their end. See, we're so focused on the now, we don't focus on what the end result will be.
Yeah.
He said, I see their bands, they're unbroken. I see that they're profitable. There is no death. There is no division. They are prospering. Then one day it was all wiped away. And all that was left was what God said would remain by faith. David said, I am ashamed. He said, I was smitten in my heart until I understood that. Why would you be jealous of what the world has? Don't look at the prosperity of the wicked and say, man, I wish I could have that. You've got it all right here. You don't need to look for monetary gain in another country. You don't need to look for grain in another field. You simply need to learn to depend on God and trust in him while living in the place of God.
Amen.
People who leave the place of God only prosper when they choose to return to the place of God. They did not gain what they wanted outside of the place of God. They only had death, bitterness, and emptiness. They did not return to the place of God full yet empty. They did not begin to prosper until they returned to the place of God. The blessings of God are always preceded by personal service. And those who obey God will always be blessed because they have followed his plan while living in his place. We find Ruth chapter number 2 being willing to sacrifice personally to go work. She stayed in the field. Boaz said, don't go to another man's field. God says, don't go to another field. There's plenty here for you. You stay here and I'll take care of you. I'll make sure that there's plenty of leftovers on the ground. And I'm here to tell you today that there's more, there's better leftovers from God's table than the world can ever offer fresh.
Amen.
I'll take the scraps of God any day over the buffet of the world.
Amen.
Any day. God's got enough to take care of us. They did not begin to prosper until they returned to the place of God. People who are in the place of God find permanency because they stayed in the place of God. Verse number 4, we find a marriage, a beautiful reunion of a husband and of a wife. We find a restoration of inheritance because they were willing to stay. Many people expect God to eliminate the effects of sin just because they came back. Well, God's a just God. If you've sinned, you're going to reap the benefits and the results of that sin. God will not turn away the punishment of your wrongdoing. So many people, their lives are broken. They come to God. They get saved. They yield their life to God. They decide they're going to live for God. And then a month later, they're back out of church again because they thought in 4 weeks that God would take a whole lifetime of wrongdoing and just restore it like with a magic wand. It takes time. You've got to grow. You've got to learn to live by faith. Yes, God loves you. Yes, God has had mercy on your life. Yes, God has forgiveness readily available. But the results of your sin will still be paid for. They may not be as severe, and they may not be as long-lasting, but you're still going to have to pay for your sin. I don't know how many times I've sat down with a young person in school and said, "You did wrong. You shouldn't have done this. This is what the punishment requires. But we're going to have a little bit of mercy, and this is all you're going to get." We didn't wipe away the punishment. They still got in trouble for the wrong they did. And so many of them would decide to, well, take advantage of the kindness. And I've seen it even the other way, where they learn from it and they don't do it again. But they get dissatisfied. God is always just and fair in his issuing of judgment on our life for our sin. We've got to be patient. Just because we return home right away does not mean that all of my problems are solved.
Right.
Many become dissatisfied after returning to the place of God because they forget the pain and they don't wean themselves from worldly appetites. Israel was in the wilderness. They looked back and they said, "I wish I had the leeks, the onions, and the garlics." Now, wait a minute. Just a little while ago, you were begging for deliverance from bondage. Oh, we remember the popularity. We remember the physical things that made us feel good while we were in the world, but we forget the pain and the despair and the rejectedness from being slaves to sin. Why seek ye the weak and beggarly elements? Why would I go back to that just because I'm facing a little bit of a difficulty? Maybe God brought this difficulty in my life so I would not look back at the world, but so that I would get down and look up at Him and depend on Him for my needs. Those who stay faithful after returning to God find a restoration of life. Verse number 15 of chapter 4, we read it. "And He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age." I love this. Remember what Naomi said when she came back? People said, "Hey, that's Naomi." You know what she said? She said, "No, I'm not Naomi. Call me Mara." That was her view of herself. Did you know God never one time in the scriptures calls her Mara? Nobody else in the Bible called her by Mara. That's not how she was seen. You see, when we mess up in our lives, we think that our lives are over. But 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9 tells me that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
My relationship with the Heavenly Father can be restored.
Yes, sir.
You may slip up, you may slip away, but you can always come back.
Amen.
Your view of yourself is probably right. You may not deserve God's grace, God's mercy on your life, but it's readily available for you. Don't look at yourself in such a way that God can't do anything with you. I love what the book of Jeremiah says. He gives back the clay and He makes them anew. God can take your life and remake it anew again. We see a new view in the life of Naomi. We see a new view of God in the life of Ruth because she saw how God could work through her as she worked to provide for her needs. And we saw a new view of God's work. We saw it necessary and profitable to see the blessings of God in the place of God. Let me very quickly give you 3 points this morning. How can I find peace in the place of God? Number one, how do I find peace in the place of God? I must first work in the field that God has sent me to. In Ruth chapter number 2 and verse number 2, what's the Bible say? "And Ruth the Moabite has sent unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And he said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech." You're not here by accident. We got visitors here this morning. Some are passing through. Some live in the area. Some of you have recently moved to the area. Some of you have recently joined the church. And you some of you might be new to the Christian life, and you're here and you're just wondering, this is big. There's a lot here. I'm never going to be to the level where God can use me. I'm never going to be as good as them, where I could be used to teach a Sunday school class, to work on a bus route, to sing in the choir, to teach a Sunday school class, to do something for God. I'll never be there. But God's brought you here for a reason.
Amen.
Work in the field. You're not here on accident. There is no accidents with God.
Amen.
You're here for a reason. We all have a job to do, and each of our jobs is important. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, the Bible tells me in verse number 12, if you look at it, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we find out that the church is like the body. It is assembled in order. It is assembled with each part being beneficial. To you, your big toe may not be important. Whack it once or twice in the middle of the night, you find out how important it really is.
Amen.
It always cracks me up when I hear doctors talking, oh, we can cut that out, you don't need it. It's got to have some purpose to be in there. There wasn't any extra spare parts, and God just said, I don't want to put that there. I just put that right there. No, you don't need that. Those doctors scare me. You know, once I go under and I ain't got any consciousness, what else is he going to take out that he doesn't think I need? I like it. It's all mine. Don't touch it. It's here for a reason. I may not know what it is, but that's okay.
Amen.
Not causing me any pain, it's going to stay. Right? The church is the same way. You may not see your purpose here, but you have purpose.
Right.
You may come here and you say, I'm not doing anything. That little smile, that little handshake, that little warm welcoming to a visitor or to a bus kid who's had a rough week at home, you just changed their life and you didn't even know it. You've got a purpose here. What's the Bible say about our jobs in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that body, being many, are of one body, so also in Christ. For by the Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Race is no issue with God.
That's right.
And all members of that one body, being many, are one body also. We find in verse number 14 that the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body. I love God's sense of humor. You think God doesn't have a sense of humor? I mean, can you see the conversation going on between the foot and the hand? Your foot wakes up one morning and says, I'm tired of being in that stinky shoe. I'm just going to drop off today because I ain't the hand. You see the conversation happening here? Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it not therefore of the body? Just because the foot decides to say it ain't of the body, it's still there. You may say, well, I don't have a part of this church, but you're still here. You're still a part whether you think you are or not.
Amen.
And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it not therefore of the body? If the whole body were the eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set every member, every one of them in the body, as it pleaseth him. You're here in your place because that's where it pleases God.
Amen.
Your problem is you're looking at somebody else. You can't please God the way somebody else does. You can only please God the way you can. He's got you here in your little niche, your little spot. So be a part of the family of God and be excited about it. Quit walking around and saying, well, I don't have that personality. Well, I'm not charismatic like that. Well, I don't look like that. You're probably glad you don't. I don't have those talents. You've got something that God has got you here for. Work in the field.
Amen.
Don't throw away your talent and put it and bury it and waste your life away because you don't think you have anything to offer God. Naomi's job was to guide Ruth. Ruth's job was to follow wisdom. Boaz's job was to restore the family. And if any one of those one people don't do their job, we don't have the beautiful story found in the book of Ruth. If you don't do your job, this church is not complete. We need you here.
Amen.
We have to have your personality, your influence, and your love in this place to be complete. The body of God needs you. The church of God needs you. The Bible says that we shouldn't have any schism in the body. There should be no division. We find that we need to not just work in the field and that we have a job to do, but we are needed, that we have to do our job. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, Jesus just wins a lady to Christ who some would call a harlot. Multiple husbands, not living with the one that's not her current husband. She goes back shortly after being saved, and she tells everyone, said, "Come see the man that told me all." I find it interesting. She didn't have to get taught to go soul winning. First thing she did was being a witness. She said, "I'm going to go tell you what God has done for me." You should be excited about what God has done for you in your life. And he says in John chapter 4 and verse number 35, "Say not yet, there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white, ready, all ready to harvest." You see, farmers harvest a crop by a calendar.
That's right.
Our view as a carnal Christian says, "Well, I'll serve God when it says it's the right time on the calendar." God says, they may harvest crops by a calendar, but the fields are already white now.
Yes.
Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to serve God. Today is the day to give God your best. Today is the day to love a sinner. Today is the day to make sure that you're working the work that God has placed you here. You might be here in Grace Baptist Church and you now see your spot, but are you working your spot?
Amen.
In the book of Nehemiah, they built the wall because one man built the whole thing. No. The Bible gives us a whole chapter, a list of families and of people. And next to him, build it. And next to him, build it. And next to him, build it. And if that next to him didn't build, there's a gap.
That's right.
What gaps might be here because we're not building what God has placed us here to build. We're not working what God has told us to work here. Not only is it important that you see you have a job, but it's important that you see that you do your job.
Amen.
Yes. Ruth, Naomi, did not find peace in the place of God until they worked in the field that God sent them. They tried fleeing when it got hard instead of staying and working, and it didn't work. Only until they came back and did what God said did they find the blessings of God returning on their life. Number two, how do I find the peace in the place of God? Not only do I work in the field that God has sent me. Number two, I need to stay where God has placed me. Ruth chapter 2 in verse number 8, we find the Bible telling us this in Ruth chapter 2, verse number 8. "Then said Boaz unto her, Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter?" Listen up. "Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap." You got your eyes on the world's fields. God's telling you, stay here. There's plenty. Stay by those that are already working for me. We'll provide. "I charge the young men that they shall not touch thee." There's protection in the place of God. "And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessel and drink." There's provision in the place of God, which the young man have drawn. God wanted Elimelech to stay, but he left and paid dearly. Naomi and Boaz advised Ruth to stay. She stayed and she was blessed. Ruth did not forsake her family in a foreign country when all was bad. Ruth did not fall away from her service when she was called upon to work for God. And Ruth did not flee after the time of harvest was over. Each step of her life, she chose to stay where she was. Be very careful in life making rash decisions to just leave. We all have times in life where God moves us. In our short tenure of ministry, we were moved 4 different times in 5 years. 2 different locations was a different building in that same area. But we watched God move. And every single time I said, "Now hold on a minute. I got to make sure that this is God's will. Not what is easiest." In fact, sometimes the decision we made was the harder of the 2 decisions. Hold on. You should just get up and leave. Every time life starts changing, careful, slow down. Stay where God has placed you. If God's grace was good enough for my salvation, is God's grace not good enough for my service? Colossians chapter 2 says, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man should spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, and the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Stay rooted in the life that God has given you to live. Don't be wooed by the tradition of men. Don't be wooed by the rudiments of this world, because it's something you can see and you think it would be better than what God has to offer you. Stay where God has placed you. If you leave, there's always a way back. But it may not be as enjoyable of a process if you'd have just stayed and trusted God. Stay established in faith. Stay focused on and thankful for all that God has done for you. Stay away from the philosophy and vain traditions of men. I'm afraid we've got churches full of people who are only simply repeating what they've heard another man said, and they're not repeating a truth of the Word of God that they've studied to show thyself approved unto God a workmanship. Don't just because you come to church doesn't make you a good person. Just because you come three times a week and you hear a man of God preach and you've got knowledge up here about Bible stories doesn't make you a good person. When's the last time you got alone with God and you studied and you compared your life to the Word of God? Stay away from man's philosophies. Faith is a requirement, not a recommendation, to stay satisfied in the place of God. Did you catch that? Faith is a requirement, not a recommendation.
Amen.
To stay satisfied. You remember Israel in the promised land? You want to know why they didn't succeed? Because God said, the land's before you. Just keep on going. Every place your feet trod, I'll give to you. They got content. They got proud. They got strong. They got linked up with the world. And they got satisfied living in the world. And they never got what God intended them to have. They kept their eyes focused on what they didn't have, what they used to have in the world. And they didn't see what God had given them now. But I compare that to Joseph. Was Joseph's life easy? He started off being disrespected. If he was a father's favorite, the rest of the kids didn't like him. They liked him so much that they threw him in a pit. Well, that's a bummer. My family's rejected me. You feel rejected by your family sometimes? I know there's been times in my life where, and especially people that I work with, it's hard to get them to see that your family may reject you, but God won't. He won't forsake you. Family forsook him. He finds himself in a pit, but he stayed faithful. He didn't run. He got sold into slavery. Great. It's getting better. He finally gets to see God use him in working in Potiphar's house. Then he gets lied about again. He gets thrown in prison. As much as 20 years possibly. 17 years in prison. 17 years. Forgotten about in a dungeon somewhere. You want to know what he says at the end of his life? Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Faith. I'm not necessarily living the life that I thought I would live. Sitting in a pit. Sitting in a prison. But it all worked together for good. Because I stayed where God placed me. We don't find Joseph getting bitter at his family and running away. Elimelech and Naomi. They left and they came back empty. Naomi and Ruth, however, show us that if you stay and trust the will of God where you're at in your own life, that He can and will provide for you. Amen. Stay. Just stop. Be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
Lastly, how do we find peace in the place of God? Number one, I must work in the field that God has set me. Number two, I must stay where God has placed me. And number three, I must remain faithful in the place of God as He has prospered me. Ruth chapter number 2, verse number 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Isn't that a question we ask sometimes of God? We look at our lives and see how God's blessed us. Like, wow, why'd you choose me to bless like this, God? This is amazing. Find a humility. We find a thankfulness. Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? I was lost and on my way to a devil's hell. But now I'm adopted. I'm a part of the family of God. Wow. You saw I was a stranger, but you accepted me in. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath been fully shown unto me. God's keeping score. God knows what you're doing in your life. He sees everything. He sees your hard work. He sees your character and your faith. He has his eye on you even when he doesn't think, you don't think he's watching. It hath been fully shown unto me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a place and a people which thou knewest not here. Therefore, it was all foreign to you. Remember when you walked through the doors of that church, you went, what are these nutty people doing? What are these people? You got to do what? I can't do what? I got to do that how? You expect me to do what? For how long? You remember all that? Wow, this is a little different. But look where you're at now. You stayed. God's used the word of God to grow you, to nurture you. He's given you a work to do. You've stayed. Why in the world would I become dissatisfied with the provisions of God? I ask you again, why would I want what the world has to offer? Why would I want what they can give me? Ephesians 1:7 tells me that I'm rich in grace. Ephesians 2:4 tells me that I'm rich in mercy. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4 tells me that I'm rich in goodness, that I'm rich in forbearance, and that I'm rich in long-suffering. Romans chapter 11 and verse number 3 says I'm rich in wisdom and in knowledge. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 19 tells me that I'm rich in provision. James chapter 2 and verse number 5 tells me that I'm rich in faith. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 8 tells me of unsearchable riches. John chapter number 14 tells me of a place in heaven. The book of Ephesians tells me that I have an inheritance, that I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Why in the world? What can the world offer me that I don't already have access to? Tell me one thing they can give me that I don't have access to. If you want peace in the place of God, you have got to remain faithful in the place of God. Don't leave because it seems monotonous, boring, or dull. Don't leave because difficulties come. Don't leave because the status of life changes. Look at all that God has. Look at all that God's promised. And look at all that He's already done for me. Why in the world would I seek to go to another field? Do not become enamored with the world's fields. Don't be like Ahab, who allows his lust for Naboth's vineyard to overcome him and cause destruction in his family's life and the life of those around him. You remember the story? He said, I want that vineyard. He said, you can have everything else, but that one's not for you. You remember Adam and Eve in the garden? You can have everything, but you can't have that. I want to test it one day. I'm going to. I'm going to put a button right back there. Big red sign on it says, don't push. And I'm going to put a camera somewhere and watch how many people go. You know, nothing happened. It's okay. Isn't it amazing how in our lives we become focused on the one thing we can't have? If I hold up a, in fact, I'll do it. What's the first thing you see? You see the circle, right? You didn't notice everything else. You noticed the one flaw. How are we with one another? We don't notice all the good. We notice the one thing that we don't like about that person. And in our life, we're here in the place of God, and we see one thing we think is going to be greener just on the other side of that fence. Stay. Do not become enamored with the world. Be satisfied with the waters of your own cistern. Proverbs 5:15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Do not seek the water that cannot satisfy your thirst. Stay where God has placed you.
Amen.
Be careful thinking that you can find peace and prosperity by leaving the place of God. Nobody has ever left the place of God and returned peaceful and full of blessings. They've only returned bitter and empty. We as children of God cannot gain the blessings of God by trusting our carnal logic. The only way for you to live in peace as a Christian in a world that is unsettled is by working in the place He has put you, staying where God has placed you, and remaining in the place that God has prospered you. Don't leave. Don't tuck tail and run. Trust in the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The truth was simple. The story was easy to understand. There were people who obeyed and were blessed. There were people who disobeyed. And they saw God's judgment on their life. So which one am I going to follow the example of? If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's the first step to getting peace in your life. You will never be satisfied and you will never have peace until you accept Him as your personal Savior. Do not fight placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Well, I just don't understand. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've not been saved this morning, I ask that you would make today the day of your salvation. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been wondering if this is where you're supposed to be. I'm here to tell you it is. God's brought you here for a reason. How about your Christian life? Do you have peace? Have your eyes turned from all that God has provided for you onto a few things the world says they can give you?